This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real-life person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have a group of young people here today to share with us the things that they presented at the Veterans Day program. And so, come over to stand in front of the microphone. Could you give your name too, please?
My name is Latham. And I am doing a speech on my grandpa, who served out of 7 veterans in my family. He went to California for training in 1955. At 18, he went to his first mission to Japan, where he had his first fight out of training. After he left Japan, he became a radio telegraph operator with a tank company in the Philippines. After the Philippines, he came back to California for even more training. He left the Marines in 1959 as a sergeant and went back to college. This is the story of my family members, and I'm sure most of you are related to a man or woman that has served in the armed forces. Thanks to veterans that have served, we are now a free and independent country.
My name is Evelyn Anderson, and I'm the proud granddaughter of a veteran who served our country. Jackie Ronald Tiggins served our country in the 101st Airborne Division as a paratrooper. Paratroopers from the 101st Airborne were also known as Screaming Eagles and were trained for air assault operations. He was trained with many other young soldiers in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The 101st Airborne Assault Division has served in many engagements, including World War II, Vietnam War, Operation Desert Storm, War in Afghanistan, and the Iraq War. They were also ordered to serve a civil rights movement in Arkansas to protect 9 black students who wanted to attend college. There are many movies depicting the Screaming Eagles, and they are one of the most highly decorated. Whether a veteran has served in a war or not, they are still important to our country and other countries around the world. In defense of our democratic principles, they have left their homes and loved ones to serve their country. We enjoy the security we have today from their willingness to give freely and unselfishly, even their lives. On behalf of Stedman Elementary and Petersburg School District, I'd like to thank each and every veteran in every capacity, including Jackie Ronald Tiggins, my grandfather.
Hi, I'm Jonas Beckland, and today, I had this speech for you to show how the veterans honored for our freedom and our country. And this also has a little bit of talk about my grandfather. Veterans Day. Veterans Day is a day when we honor our soldiers who risked their lives to fight for our country and our freedom. World War II started at September 1st, 1939 and ended in 1945. More than 100 million people sent from 30 countries fought in that war. There have been many wars fought by Americans for our country. I know a little about World War II because my great-grandfather Gerald Lynn was in it. His job was to drive a rescue boat in the Aleutian Islands. What's
Hi, my name is Charlotte. I'd like to tell you about my uncle, who is a veteran. You might know him as Officer Holmgren. My uncle was a helicopter pilot in the Marines. He said that the training was very tiring, but he liked the people he worked with. My uncle was stationed in California, Virginia, North Carolina, Louisiana, and he fought in Iraq during Desert Storm, which was a war. Thank you for serving in our country, sometimes in dangerous places where you were away from your family. I am grateful for your hard work and the work of the other veterans that are here.
Thank you for coming today. My name is Kieran Cabral. I am on the Stebbins Elementary Student Council. Veterans Day is a holiday we celebrate to give thanks to our veterans. Who are veterans? Veterans are people who have served our country. It takes bravery and honor to serve our country. Veterans Day is on November 11th because World War I ended on the 11th month, 11th day, and the 11th hour. Thank you, veterans, your families, those who are serving. We appreciate all you have done. Thank you.
Greetings, veterans and your school board members. We appreciate veterans and their families' sacrifices for our many freedoms. Because of your service, we are able to meet in this assembly today, to go to school, dress the way we want, and worship we God how we see fit, as well as many other freedoms too numerous to list. We thank you for your service on our behalf.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate you all coming and sharing with us tonight. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're on to the approval of the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for November 18th.
A second. Okay. Motion been made and seconded to approve the agenda for November 18th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, student representative report. Fan.
Hi. So 2 weeks ago, the girls' volleyball went to regions in Ketchikan, and they took third. And then that same weekend, the swim and dive went to states in Anchorage, and the boys' team took fourth. And Isabel, as she was the only girl that went, and she took ninth in diving. And then...
Do we know anybody that's on the boys' swim team?
Yeah, I am. And then Abel Albach broke the... he took first in the 50 free and the 100 free, and then he broke the state record for the 100 free. And then wrestling has been going on. They've been doing pretty well. The individuals have been placing highly. And basketball preseason for girls and boys started up this month. And, oh, this weekend, state honor band and honor choir are is happening, and we have, I think, 6 students in it. So, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
Good. Sounds good. Yeah. And congratulations. Thanks. Okay, correspondence. Do you have any correspondence? Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Comments from the audience related to agenda items. Or we'll get to that item on the agenda. Comments from board members? Moving right along here. The consent agenda. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. The clerk, please call the roll.
Jean Ellis.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Cheryl Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Okay, administrative reports. Superintendent report, Dr. Stroh.
Okay. Good evening. It's been very, very busy, and just about everything that I had is already included either on the agenda or in other reports. One thing that I would add is today we found out that Skipper Erickson has been selected for All Northwest Band. So that is just incredible.
Accepted for which?
All Northwest Band. I think it's like your Northwest, I think it's six states. Something like that. So that's just super. You know, the Veterans Day Assembly was just absolutely awesome. We did something a little bit different this year with the K through 12 Assembly, and I think we'll continue that. The feedback has been very, very good. It was really neat to see the kids, you know, in elementary school and in the high school choir, all on the same risers, singing the national anthem. People have commented on that. The schools are just very busy. We're working on some teacher evaluation things as mandated by the state, and the committee will be meeting soon on that. And like I said, everything else is in the agenda, so in the essence of time, I'll keep mine short. Thanks.
Okay, any questions? Okay, thank you. Maintenance report, Dan Pate.
Good evening. I think this is a fairly brief report. I'll start off with snow. I got treated to my first morning of snow on Monday, and it was well received. And it's kind of nice to be able to ease into it. It wasn't that big of a deal, just a little bit of a dusting, but it allowed us to get our equipment out there and make sure we had all the bugs out of it. And for the most part, we did. And things went fine, and we had the place ready to go by 7 in the morning before everyone showed up. So time to grab a cup of coffee after that. So on the custodian front, Tiffany Christensen has been with us now for about 2 weeks as our elementary new custodian, and I can tell you it's just so wonderful walking through the halls and having the staff pull me aside and give me the thumbs up and tell me the great things she's doing there. And I know we picked the right person, and I'm glad to have her, and I think Erica probably is too. Yeah. On a similar note, pretty much about once a month now, I've been getting either an email or someone's pulled me aside to tell me what a nice job Brian Anderson does for them up on the second floor of the high school, too. And that's kind of a nice to be pulled aside and hear those kind of comments. So we're doing the best that we can with the people we have and the time and the space that we have to deal with, and it's nice to be recognized. On the maintenance side of things, Rands McIntosh and to a lesser extent myself, we're finally getting caught up on our fall preventive maintenance schedule. Rands just today finished up our air handlers, what we call our belts and grease job, where he gets into pretty much every little piece of equipment and greases up the bearings and changes the belts if necessary. That used to be one of my favorite little tasks about a year or two ago. It calls for a small person, and usually we can crawl into those places. But we also got pipes drained where needed to prevent winter freeze-up, things like that. We worked on our auditorium upkeep, and we're finally getting to the point where we can move on to some projects and lesser critical items, projects and things that staff would like to see done that we don't normally get to as quickly as we'd like. We're going to try to put up the student-designed artwork that we've been talking about for months. I'm hoping to get that up by the end of this week so our parents can see it for conferences. Can't absolutely make promises because you never know what one day to the next will bring, but that's on our goal for the rest of the week. We were able to get the bleacher seats finally repaired. We had that done just in time for Veterans Day. That was something that was kind of hanging over our head, wondering when are we going to get to that one. And I was glad to see that we were able to do it before an important event like that. We worked on our gym lighting, and Rands has been also working on some heating valve maintenance, which is always an ongoing thing. So all in all, on the maintenance side of things, I'm pretty pleased with the way things are progressing through this last month. For myself, I've been working on several small projects. On a day-to-day basis, I've been monitoring the heating environment over at the elementary school, trying to tweak things here and there to get all those classrooms just the way they need to be, and I think I'm finally getting there. I probably described once or twice to some of you, or maybe even to the board, that there seemed to be a what I like to call a heat bubble coming out of our boiler room. Now that our elementary school is so much well insulated than it used to be, the heat from the boilers, just the radiant heat, has been kind of hot in those boiler room. It gets up to about 80 degrees in there. And that heat has kind of been spilling out over the last couple of months into the library area, into the hallways outside of the office, and then the first couple classrooms down, maybe as far as Christine Wallace's classroom. And it finally occurred to me, which, you know, I have to sit and mull these things over for a while, that we have a couple of heat ventilator units, heat recovery units, excuse me, and they hadn't been reprogrammed since we got rid of our old drafty building. So what that heat ventilator does is it kind of looks at the outside air temperature, looks at what the demand is inside the building, and it works on a curve, and it tries to figure out exactly what the right temperature it should be distributing air to the rest of the building, or should it be expelling some air, hot air, from the building. What does it need to do with the air? And so I reworked the curves on that, and I finished that up mid last week, and I've been watching it the last few days, and I'm finally gratified to say that through one wing to the next down the halls, all the temperatures are finally evening out to about a nice comfortable 68 to 70 degrees, depending on what the staff would like to have in their room. And I'm glad I finally got there. So awesome. It's been a long road on that one.
Summer's over on that end of the school.
Exactly. Exactly. I've also been working with Sergeant Kerr of our police department. We're looking at our district's nighttime exterior illumination, and we're looking at it from the standpoint that we probably have too many lights on at night, and we're paying for that output of electrical use, excuse me. So getting together with Sergeant Kerr, we discussed areas that we could potentially turn off, say maybe start about 10 o'clock at night. We're looking at parking lots, we're looking at power poles that light up the perimeter of our playgrounds. The covered areas have always gone off about 10 o'clock at night. And then some of the street lights, the decorative street lights that we have down Charles W. and First Street, and also Balder Street on the backside of the school. And Sergeant Kerr told me, you know, we don't need to have a lot of those on. And I also learned at my maintenance conference that I went to last month that a lot of school districts do turn off their lights at around 10 o'clock at night. So last Sunday night, Sergeant Kerr and I got some lights turned off, and through his patrols throughout the middle of the night, he evaluated our lighting situation. And with a reduced light load, he sent me a real positive email. I think I got it either yesterday morning or today, said we should continue with it. And they have enough light that they can safely patrol our buildings and see what's going on. The next thing we need to look at is sit down with our administration, Superintendent Stroh, and our principals, and decide what our community needs to have for safe lighting, at what times do we need to have them on. And I think over the next week or two, we'll try to iron that out and get our light loads down to a level that's safe, but at the same point, we'll save a school district a little bit of money. So, and then, as you have in your packet, there's some issues with the boiler. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background before I tell you where we are with that. At the end of October, just after the last board meeting, we had a boiler tuning professional come up from Seattle, from Proctor Sales, and that's the vendor who sold us our high-efficiency burner. And his job was basically to set that burner up for us and make sure it was operating properly. And also we hired him to finely tune the other three boilers in our district to make sure they're operating at peak efficiency too. And really, he was there for 3 days, and for me, it was almost like a workshop because it was really hands-on. I was side-by-side with him a lot of the time. We had RANs there as well, and we learned a lot of information from this fellow about how we may, you know, better upkeep our boilers, how we can run them more efficiently on a week-by-week basis and season-by-season basis. And it was quite invaluable to me to have this person on site. And so this leads into where we are today with the supplement that you have in your packet today. So, as you know, there's been a small snag with having this new burner put on our well-maintained boiler. And this is the 30-year-old boiler that's in the middle school. Prior to this technician showing up, I had to do the major annual maintenance on the boiler. So that involves releasing the heat from the boiler, letting it cool down so I can crawl inside of it and scrub the soot out of it and get the sludge out from the interior passages and all that. It's a fairly standard thing that you do every year. And as this boiler cooled down, I noticed that it was seeping between two sections of the boiler. And as I pointed out in your packet, but the folks here tonight and the people listening don't know, this particular boiler is almost like a loaf of bread, a sliced loaf of bread, and each slice or of this is a cast iron section of the boiler, and between each cast iron section is the seals that keep everything watertight. And this particular boiler, as it cooled, started seeping under two of these seams. And at first, I called Proctor Sales and said, I've got this problem here, and I'm not sure that you're going to want to send your technician up until we determine what the exact problem is. And he goes, well, you know what? We see this. It happens a lot. You know, the boiler contracts as it gets cold, and there's less stress on those seals, and they can weep. He goes, go ahead and finish installing the burner. We'll send the technician up, and I think as soon as you get that boiler fired up, it's going to seal up just from the heat of combustion. You know, the cast iron sections will start expanding against each other, and the seals will tighten right back up. And sure enough, we got the burner up and running, and the boiler started heating up. One of the two sealed up just like he thought it would, but the other one did not. And in fact, since the technicians left, that seep has actually developed a little bit more into a drip, and that does concern me a bit. I think because we just went from a burner that what we call a high-low burner, that particular burner ran, as soon as it had a call for heat, went right to 100% capacity. It was putting out as much heat as it could. It kept that boiler tightly sealed all the time. Whenever the boiler got up to the temperature it was set to, at the last minute, the last 5-7 degrees, it would drop down to 20 or 30% of its capacity, and it would relax. And it may have been seeping for a couple of years, and with the shrouds on the boiler, if it was just seeping, not dripping on the floor, you're not going to notice these kind of things. But now that we have this new high-efficiency burner, which is a modulating type of burner, and if you remember back in May when I explained what this big package was that they were going to get, this new burner looks at the ambient temperatures, it looks at the load that the school is calling for, and it makes some calculations, and it ramps up to whatever percentage of power it thinks it needs. And what I've noticed about this new burner is it ramps up to about 50%. It doesn't feel the need to go to 100%, even on that cold stretch we had the last couple days. And then almost as immediately as it gets up to 50%, it kind of drops down to 20%. And it just ambles along at 20%. And this particular burner arrangement operates maybe four times an hour, where perhaps the last one ran double that, six times an hour. So before, the old burner, I think, was just constantly keeping that boiler hot and tight, and those 30-year-old seals could hold up. But with this new modulating burner that's saving us a lot of fuel, it's letting that that boiler relax, and those seals, those cast iron sections contract, and the seals relax, and then I get my drip. So that's what's happening there. What we need to do is we need to put this out to bid and get this boiler essentially overhauled and resealed. And what we'll do there is we'll follow the Department of Education and Early Development's guidelines, make sure that we have a proper bid process, we'll make sure that we have a bid protest period, and then we'll bring to you what the cost of having this work done is and for approval. And we'll have the work done, and then we'll resubmit it to the state for a CIP reimbursement.
So that's where the most reasonable thing to do to these type of old boilers is to overhaul them.
And Proctor Sales says even though this is not their latest model, they have we have the latest model over in the elementary school. We have two smaller versions of it over there. They said this is a perfectly viable boiler. It's got a lot of life, and it just needs to be resealed for the most part. You know, they may open it up, they may find a problem or two, and if that's the case, they can pull the section out that's bad, slide in a new one. So that's the real benefit to this type of boiler, where the last one is they had to cut out the bad sections and they had to weld in repairs to it. So that's where we stand with that, and we'll bring you the information as we get it, and we'd like to move forward with the bid process on that. I guess one final note, about a week ago, the borough invited me to their loss prevention seminar that APEI, our insurance company, put on for them. And just like as I reported in my last report, I went to a seminar, I learned a lot of information, and I feel like there's a whole new world of OSHA and requirements and things that are coming due that I have dabbled in, but I think I need to hit a little harder. So in the next couple of months, I'm going to be putting a lot of my effort into that area as well. So, that's where we are with maintenance. Is there any questions?
I just have a quick question.
Sure.
Where's the design being installed, the student art?
It's being, if you walk straight into our building, mm-hmm. we have those old carpeted areas.
Yeah.
We're putting them right over the
okay.
top of that.
I think I remember that.
We have one up.
Or something.
They're about 50 pounds each.
Yeah.
And we had a little problem gaining access to the backside of that
okay.
sheetrock and the studs.
I'm remembering now. Okay.
And it took us a while to scratch our head and figure out how we're going to
do it. Okay. Oh, that's exciting.
So this is in the commons?
High school commons.
Okay.
So as you come in, you're going to see.
That's the ones where the kids put the signs over?
Yeah. I believe they're going to be finding new real estate. Is that appropriate? Or maybe smaller size. So.
Okay.
I did learn at the conference, I sat in on an APEI playground safety, 10 or 15 minute little round table discussion, and I did learn, which I thought, I didn't realize we were eligible for, but he said every year we're eligible for that, I think it's a 50-50 split, isn't it, for the playground rubber.
To be honest, I'm not really up to speed on it.
Okay.
And
no,
I knew that something
either.
Like that existed, and it's another area
yeah,
that we just started talking about last week a little bit about what we might do with
yeah,
our
Yeah, I got pretty excited because I thought it'd be great to get rid of more rock, mm-hmm. if that's possible. Yeah.
We'll check on that.
Yeah, because I think it was last time, I think, a 50-50 split, so we still have to come up with money, but it's... you can apply for it every year.
And at my maintenance conference last month, I learned a lot about playground safety, and we have areas we do need to improve. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Questions? Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Principal's report. Rick Dormer.
Hi, good evening. Lots of stuff going on, and I actually have to move the microphone up for once in my life. That doesn't happen very often. Scott, I like that. Thanks for bringing the elementary kids in. Let's say what we were saying earlier. Lots of stuff and activity, and we'll leave that to Jamie. Just recently, we've begun some work with the Soul Studies Review. There again, it's curriculum review year for Soul Studies, so that's pretty exciting. We've met with them twice now, Soul Studies teachers, and we, meaning Eric and I, are kind of we're leading that charge together. And they're doing a great job. It's pretty exciting. It was nice because we met in October, and then we had those in-service days, which were good. And remember, we brought the smart board trainer up, but it worked out with the rotation there, and that we had one full day of smart board training, and then the other half of the staff was able to work on curriculum, which is pretty cool. So we did that, and... they're doing great, and if you ever want to see more, shoot me an email, and I can send you there. They're putting all this work in the shared Google folder, which is pretty neat, and most of them have already gotten kind of laid out quarterly what they do, big topic ideas, and then they're able to take that and kind of break it down into more specifics. So they're pretty excited, and they're moving forward, and they've together just a great team. So that's pretty neat how Soul Studies is going. As you know, we continue with math and language arts. Those are just such big subjects and been such big adoptions that it's ongoing. I know Eric will talk more to this, but they're doing the same thing in the elementary, so just keep trucking along, and those teachers making progress too, so that's all good. And then a kind of newer spin on this was we were working with John Clue Painter, and some of the ideas came out that we're trying to get a scope and sequence just like we have with curriculum, and Superintendent Stroh, one of the first things he said is don't have gaps between grades, and that's so smart. We want to make sure that everybody's kind of lined up as we go K through 12. And one of the great ideas was we're going to try to really get technology standards real nailed down, really kind of as our district. John and his team already have all these standards and the international standards and the safety for students, but what a great way for Petersburg to say, we expect a first grader to be able to do these things, just kind of these benchmarks. And so it'll be kind of cool. We haven't really laid it out quite that explicitly for us. We've done such a good job of just working on getting machines going, getting everyone access, and getting everybody safe, that this is kind of a cool way to say, you can cover things from keyboarding to, to Google Docs to all that, maybe even programming at a minor farther up at the end. You don't want to be able to a little bit or an understander to read these type of things, junior, senior. So it'll be kind of fun. That's a project we haven't really even gotten started yet, but something to talk about. Like I said, in-service is great. The smart board training, everyone did a good day of curriculum work. Also, we all work working with Bridget Wittstock, who's our district test coordinator, and she's been really busy traveling to that. Was talking about these Alaska Measures of Progress, the AMP, which is the new state standard test that the kids go through. Excuse me, and we know that's going to be on a computer this year. So that's the first time, and that's a big challenge. And we're not really worried about it, but we certainly want to have a nice progressive, little bit by little bit, to get the staff used to it. And so they got to get on the site, the state site, and play around like they're taking the math test or the language arts test, and see some of the accommodations that kids have. So that was pretty neat to do that on the in-service day. And now we're talking during our staff meetings here, trying to find ways. trying to get a first one before Christmas where the kids can get on there and log on and mess around with this. It's called Kite is the name of the online program that takes over their computer and lets them test. So that's a neat step. We should see that before Christmas, having the kids go on there. And if you use the school board or you talk to community members, it is open to... Oh, go ahead. Yep. Yeah, if someone says, hey, what's it going to look like when a kid gets on there and tests? They have these sample tests. And again, really anybody, someone just walking by the street could get on a computer and get these. They're just out there on the state website. So that's kind of exciting. Yeah, it's a change. And our kids are so good at technology and have a good infrastructure. It's going to be good, but we certainly don't want to surprise anything on them. Yeah. Conferences are coming up, as you've all talked about. We've got this week and then next week. Again, the middle school and high school, we're Monday 4 to 8 p.m. is conferences, and this should be sent out to parents. This is on our website, and the information's out there. But 4 to 8 on Monday, and that's middle school and high school. And again, we only schedule, I believe, our 6th grade teachers, and then our freshmen are scheduled in one class. So if anyone wants to schedule a time, either that Monday 4 to 8, and then they're also Tuesday 2 to 8 p.m., they can call either the office, whichever one their child goes to, the high school or the middle school office, and schedule a conference time. Otherwise, just please come by with your kid, with your kid, one parent, all the parents, grandparents, whatever. Come by, and we want to talk to you and just see how your kid's doing and just talk about ways so they can keep doing the good things and keep getting better. So, again, call the office if you'd like to schedule. And then the elementary, y'all could talk to you more, but we are staggered a little bit with the elementary and really hope this will be a nice opportunity for parents. We've heard in the past several parents have a hard time getting to all the teachers between all the buildings, and sometimes there's lines. So we do hope that the Monday, Tuesday, and then with the elementary having some morning conferences, that parents are able to get to all the different conference times. That was really a challenge, and a challenge for me too, as I was trying to be in buildings and get to different kids. And I know some parents have two or three kids spread out across the district or more. It can be a real challenge. So we really hope that alleviates some of that. Yeah, so please come out to conferences. Any questions, call the offices. And then finally, I just want to keep encouraging parents, community members, check those calendar, the academics activities calendar. There's been so much going on, and one of the things that we see a lot in the high school, and Counselor Escher's been working hard, we just had a representative from University of Alaska Southeast from Juneau come down, and she spent a whole day in the school, but she also did an information night, and that's so great, because I know a lot of kids want to get connected to that campus or several of those UAS campuses. And then we're going to be hosting a financial aid night on December 17th, and that's a big, big deal for kids who are headed off to college, and it doesn't have to be just senior parents. You know, if your kids are in college in several years, really good to get out and just start hearing about it, getting that information. So please check out the calendar. Some of those things I know come up, and I know sometimes communication, especially with older kids, is limited because they're always busy and they're working and they're playing sports. So check that calendar and come out and just learn more about how we can help your kids. That's my report. Any questions?
What was the financial aid night? The 17th?
Yeah, December 17th. It's a little early. I believe it's 5:30 before the high school concert. Yes.
Okay, that was what I was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, we're locked in their schedule because they come, I think they hit through Wrangell, and so we kind of have to have them on one night, and we'll make it work. Any other questions?
Okay. Thanks.
You
Erica, elementary.
Okay. So I like to come third because then things have already been discussed, which is great. Back to the in-service, we did, as Rick mentioned, we did also split our elementary staff in half and had our primary group do smart board training one day, and then our upper elementary group was able to meet and, for example, go over the online testing together and test that out a little bit and see what that's all about. Our K-2 teachers have also have it on their machines, and especially our second grade teachers are wanting to take a look at it as well so that they can be preparing for their kids, you know, in the next year. It's going to be a bit of a challenge, and we're, of course, it's all the new standards as well, so it'll be, it'll be a challenge, I think, for all of us this first year, but it's going to be just fine. It's going to work out just fine. Lots more continued work on reading, language arts, and math also on the opposite days. We just keep plugging away on that in the elementary. That's the bulk of what we do, really. So we are just continuing to finalize that work. We had a trainer come up actually the week after the in-service days. We had scheduled when we did purchase the Go Math materials and that program. We had a trainer that was part of the package, that she was supposed to come back and do some follow-up training with us in November. It happened to be the week after in-service days, and it worked out really well, actually. We kind of did a roving sub sort of thing, and we were able to break teachers up into groups of two and three, and the trainer would come into the classroom and would do a lesson in a classroom, and there might be three or four teachers in the back of the room, and then they would then be able to go and into one of the other rooms in the building and spend some time just talking through the lesson and then talk about all kinds of questions and issues that have come up the first couple year, you know, first couple months of using the new program. So that was really beneficial. Teachers felt really good about that, and the trainer was great. In fact, she was here the morning of the power outage, and you know, she was just rolled with it. I mean, she's been in education a long time. She's like, sure, it'll be fine, whatever. And the power came on at 8:35 or whatever when she was up there prepared not to use technology, and then there it was, and there was light. And so then they moved on. But anyway, so that was great. I also just wanted to say that I really felt that the All-School Veterans Day Assembly was really a huge success as well. It was great for our kids. I think it actually sparked a lot of more music interest for our kids, which not that they need any sparking in that area. I think we do a lot of it, but they were really into that. They thought that was awesome. So they're all about it. So Matt Linhard can chalk that one up. They're chomping at the bit. Our Girls on the Run crew is gearing up for their community run on December 6th, Saturday the 6th, and that's at 10 a.m. in the morning. And it will be a cold one. It was last year, but it was fabulous, and it's open to all, any and all community members. So it's, but we do do some pretty special celebratory things for our kids that have made that whole season. So we're looking forward to that run. And our PI meeting is coming up tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, in the elementary library for anybody who's interested in that. And our PI group has supported a couple of musical opportunities for our kids just this fall with the Seattle String group, a performance for the kids, and then the Maria in the Shower group last week came in and did some rhythm bone workshops with our 4th and 5th grade little kids rock kids. So that was pretty awesome. And I think Partners in Education, yes, our parent-teacher group. Yes, thank you for that. And I think we're gearing up for possibly a sock hop this winter, which I think could be really fun. Maybe doing that instead of the barn dance. We're going to try something different this year. I don't know. But anyway, sock hop sounds pretty fun. So that's what's going on in the elementary school. You have any questions?
Thank you very much.
Soda shops.
Ice cream. Activities report. Jamie Carell.
It's all about food.
You notice the beards. It's for November.
November, right? Or
Brovember. I cannot stand it. Oh, my goodness.
I was wondering because, like, I look around, yeah, and not just you guys, but I was like, oh, yes. What's the deal?
We got a competition going. I know.
My husband, too, he's got,
Rick and I were thinking of dyeing it and bleaching it and calling ourselves the Bleach Boys.
Oh, that sounds good.
I just made that up. That's good.
Thank goodness you can shave it afterwards.
Thank goodness. The wife is ready for it to be gone. So, activities, another boring weekend. We had Craig Kaufman Cove, which they haven't had a team in many years. Very excited to have them here, and they were just very sweet kids. Thank you all the time. It was really neat. And they're going to have a high school basketball team this year in Kaufman Cove as well. So they're really excited about that. Teams from Wrangell, Craig, Kaufman Cove, and Klawak were here too. So it was a night. 28 games in 2 days. So thank you, referees. They ran a lot. All the volunteers too that helped out with that. That was great. Our boys A team took first. Our boys B team took second. Our girls B team took second, and our girls A team got eliminated in the single elimination piece. So, but three out of the eight trophies got to stay here. That's nice. We paid for those, so that's great. A lot of our fall activities have come to a conclusion. Swim did a phenomenal job this year. We actually got to host the swim meet too. That went great. Thank you, Viking Swim Club, for helping out. That is quite a show to put on with that many people in the water and timers. And whew, it was a nice busy weekend. But our boys won first place. Came down to 6 points between us and Sitka, 87-81. And Juno Douglas girls kind of dominated throughout here and the state. So very nice for our boys, and Coach Andy and Coach Roden. Isabel Eth was the diving champion for the girls, and just records being broken all over the place. So it was quite the weekend. If you got to be up there, that was a great weekend for Petersburg and the swimmers. Wrestling just came back from their last regular season event from Ketchikan. They'll be going to Wrangell December 5-6. They do not wrestle on Thanksgiving. Otherwise, they'd never make weight that weekend. So Regions is in Wrangell this year. And this is the first year we met our cutoff at the ASAA level. We will have an all-girls bracket at the state level for the first time in history this year. So we met over 100 girls wrestling across the state, and so they'll have their own weight classes at the state tournament. So very cool, a big step for high school wrestling in the state of Alaska. So the girls will have their own 9 weight classes to go and wrestle. So very cool. Southeast Honors Music happened during that time, too, since we've been off. And Coach Lenhardt, he should be Coach Lenhardt. Mr. Lenhardt came back. The kids did a fantastic job up there, even though they had the power outage. I think we were here that evening when they had the power outage over in Juneau for that. And the kids did phenomenal there. This year was the first test to have a strings portion of the Southeast Honors Music Festival. So they had about 4 string players. Just kind of an experiment to see how well it would do, and I think it went fairly well. It'll be another 2-3 years before we get it back, which that was one of my favorite events to host. And then we just got done with middle school basketball, as I said before. Lots of people here for that one. Our next home event is not till December. Actually, this weekend, I lied. This weekend we are hosting a Region 5 cheer clinic. The old AD, Ronelle Beardsley, is the cheer guru. She's going to be putting on a safety and stunting clinic for all those Southeast Region high schools coaches, especially a lot of new coaches in Southeast this year. So we have about 9 to 11 coaches from all the Southeast high schools coming here Friday, Saturday, doing a clinic. Booklet and tests clinic on Friday, and then actually they get to work with our cheerleaders on stunting and in our gymnasium with our new cheer mat that we have. Thank you, Karen Quislin. Working on the stunting pieces, what it looks like, and so that the coaches know what they're looking for when they're doing a lot of these stunts with the kids flying through the air. So good to know what we're doing there. So, and then we will be back December 12th, 13th with home basketball. Juneau Douglas girls will be here December 12th and 13th. Our boys will be heading to Ketchikan that weekend. And so basketball is on the horizon. Cheerleading and basketball for both boys and girls start December 1st. So another season just around the riverbend. And then our Little Norway basketball tournament, 18, 19, 20 of December. And then our basketball team will be going to Ketchikan over winter break. And then we'll have all of our home basketball games coming around the corner. So, questions? Okay.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank
you. We appreciate it. Okay, upcoming dates and media announcements. Okay, November 20th is... that's this Thursday. I'm looking at that and saying, what's that? I guess I should know where it is because I'm supposed to be doing it. it's a work session for the board on board training at the district office at 7 o'clock this Thursday. And we're going to be looking, like there's one thing that says the 10 things that all board members should have at their fingertips. Well, I've realized that most of them are on our website, so we're not going to have too much trouble finding them, but we have to go through that. And then on the 25th and 26th of the parent-teacher conferences that we were just talking about, and 27th through 28th is the Thanksgiving holiday. December 1st is we need to get together to set the board agenda. Which is that a Monday, Jared?
First is a Monday.
What?
The first is a Monday.
Okay. Who would like to help set the agenda?
I'll help you.
Okay. Cheryl and Jean and... Can you set a time right now? Mondays, if there's a time difference, what works for people?
I'll make it work.
Sharon?
It's up to you, Cheryl.
I'm usually more flexible because I don't have as many kids going in as many directions as you do.
It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Okay. So,
how about 10 a.m.?
Oh, it'd be fine. All right, 10 a.m. Monday. Hopefully, I'll remember.
I'll text you.
Okay, that'd be good. And then December 16th is the next regular board meeting, and we're going to have the student recognition and reception at 6:15. We must have a lot of kids, we're thinking, because this is when we hand out congratulatory things to the various students that have done all kinds of special things over the fall. And Sharon works hard on this and gets pizza and other kinds of good things for people. And then our regular board meeting is at 7 p.m. in the Borough Assembly Chambers, right here. And Campus Connection will be at 12:30 p.m. at KFSK. And Sarah and I did that this week. Who would like to do it next month?
I can do it again.
Sarah?
I don't think I have to work that Tuesday, so I should be fine.
I'll do it.
And Cheryl. Well, okay.
I think I'm... check my calendar.
I can do it too, so if it doesn't work for one of you.
No, it was just today. I had to work today when I normally don't, and then I was late. So I was running. That's why I said that. No, so I don't see that I have anything going on that day, so it should be fine. So if something weird happens, I'll call you.
Yeah. Or Cheryl. Yeah. Or, let me know.
Okay, old business. Elementary exterior wall renovation report. And we have Tony Yorba from Jensen Yorba and Locke here with us. Come talk to us about the building. It's looking great. I like the color. I think it looks very nice.
You don't miss the blue panels underneath the old windows? No. They're in a landfill someplace down in Oregon at this point in time in a hazardous waste facility, actually, you know, so, yeah, so we're good. No, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. I wrote a report with sort of an executive summary and then in-depth description of some of the issues, but I thought I'd just sort of summarize for you right now and then take any questions that you may have. Basically,
the report's in our packet, so we all had an opportunity to read.
Yes. By any matrix that I can kind of measure the project, you've got a really great facility there. You've gone from about an R2 to around R30 on the walls. And so tying that in with the roof replacement project that we did a few years ago, you have a building that meets all, you know, the higher energy standards that are used to measure buildings and stuff today. So that part, I mean, you've gone from 0 to 30. So that's really good. You've got a really improved teaching environment there now with as Dan said, with the controllable temperatures in the classrooms, and especially with the lighting levels adjustable between, you know, ambient natural light to brighter light for work. And so I think your teachers are going to really like that. One thing I would say from a technology perspective, from my experience, and granted, I'm not a classroom teacher, so I'm kind of talking from what the literature says. The one thing might be acoustic improvements in there. Sometimes teachers that have voice amplification equipment are able to keep the students' attention better and get some better results from the academics. And it's usually just a headset with not one speaker, but speakers kind of spread around in the classroom. Honestly, I forget whether or not you're set up with that kind of speaker system, but that kind of equipment has seen some real value, and that's something you might want to think. That was sort of outside the scope of this project, but somebody just sort of noticed. You've got great energy savings. I think in Dan's future reports, you're going to be hearing what kind of savings, both in terms of electricity and oil, which is going to translate to dollars that are going to be available for something other than you know, going off into the air. So that's really, I think, going to be really good for you. You got a great low-maintenance exterior. I will say this, that those asbestos cement panels that were on that school before were quite low-maintenance. However, the ones you have now are not dangerous to the environment. And so, you know, there's a real improvement there. That steel is about the heaviest gauge steel that we could get for those panels. It's 20 gauge, something like that. I mean, it's like the bumper of a car. I mean, it's pretty heavy stuff. So I think it's going to be real durable over the long haul for you. You also finally, a couple of things. Something you may or may not have been aware of, we eliminated a really high life safety risk in that building. There was exposed, highly flammable insulation underneath the building, and we discovered that and got rid of that pretty cost-effectively without affecting a lot of their things. And so you won't have a Hooper Bay School repeat here. So that's really a good thing. And then finally, you were on budget. We'll come out with the final construction cost around 2.5, something like that, with just under 5% on change orders, which is I personally like to see less in my projects, but that's typically what we do, is budget for 10 and then expect the projects come in no higher than 5. If it comes in higher than 5, I'm not happy about it when we look for things, but we're just right about at 5 on this with the non-elective change order. So that's a really good thing. There were some challenges, of course. The project went long. I think Erica's teachers will attest to that, and so some people's patience was tried. I really appreciate the Dr. Stroh and others with their patience in working with us and trying to resolve some of the reasons why it went long. There were some manufacturer issues with the siding and the carpet. There were also some electrical design issues. We're still kind of sorting that out, but that will work out into high-quality lighting, in particular in the your library, and also the final resolution with the switching, which I know has been an issue in the classrooms, will result in even greater energy savings. We're going to basically a wireless switch system in all the classrooms, which eliminates all the line loss between the switches and the lights, which over the life of a building of that size gets to be really a considerable number. So. Everything is pretty much worked out except for some negotiations on a credit for some defects in the carpet, and I'm going to be working with Dr. Stroh and Erica here shortly to see if we can't identify the scope of that and negotiate that out. I've already talked with the contractor. He's more than amenable to working that out, and so I don't foresee that to be a difficult problem. So. That's pretty much my report. I'd be happy to answer any specific questions or anything that you'd care to hear more about.
I was a little with the light switches.
Mm-hmm.
We had light switches that just didn't work, or
the design is for it's a brand new system there with the LED lights. Working with daylight and this sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And the switching that we put in was at the direction of the lighting manufacturer. Turns out it didn't work right, and the electrical contractor, the electrical engineer, and the manufacturer got together and came up with a solution. And the solution is actually to use a wireless switch. It's very similar to like your little remote that you'd use for an Apple TV. It's essentially it's a very very simple device, and if a teacher wants to, they can basically go on the wall any place with a piece of Velcro, basically, and so that will be used to control the lights, and because it eliminates the line drop between like your normal switches and stuff around, you know, it winds up bringing in even more energy savings. So it's, whereas it wasn't how we originally designed it, I think there's some real advantages there. So.
Okay.
I had a question on the staples that were used for the underneath the siding. Is there any concern that before the siding went on, staples were on the paper underneath, of moisture getting back behind there?
Yeah, good question.
And potentially having a mold issue in the future?
Yeah, the I'll, if you're talking about the black Vapro shield that went on, like 95% of that went on with screws with washer caps on it. Okay. And when I was here in May, when they first put it on, first started putting it on, that install was perfect. There wasn't a single penetration in it. I walked that whole thing. Towards the end of the project, I guess there was some stapling that was going on, and whereas it wasn't according to the specifications, that black material, I don't know if you saw it, it's self-sealing, and so I don't have a concern that the staple in and of itself is like a hole where water is going to go through. At some point in time in the future, if that staple was to rust away entirely, there could be a little pinhole in that material. But the reality is that siding is so constant that I know we designed it as a rain barrier, but my expectation is that there, with the overhangs that you have on that building, that there's really going to be virtually no water going through that siding. So, no, I have every confidence that you're going to be fine there.
Okay. I guess I was thinking more of, because it was a pretty wet summer, of it getting penetrated before the siding ever went up, and them going, for whatever reason, to staples, and that the moisture already existed back behind there before the siding came on.
With the, if it was a sealed system, like, what would be a good example? Like the old, like Dry-It, you know, these stucco systems that go on or something like that. I could see, especially when it was heavily painted with some sort of a non permeable paint.
Okay.
I think there could be an issue there, but because it's a rain screen, it's designed to ventilate and designed to dry. So yeah, I think any moisture that was in the wall assembly itself has a way of getting out of the building.
Okay.
The Vapro shield is actually really vapor permeable. That's why we selected it. It's just killer on water trying to get in the building, but it allows moisture to travel out of it, so that air as it at water as it evaporates in there is allowed to leave.
Okay.
Good question.
Any other questions?
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming. Okay. Page flipping here. Okay. Board Policy 5142.3, Restraint and Seclusion, at second reading. So right now, we're going to recess for a public hearing on this policy, and then we will re-adjourn. So is there anyone here for a public hearing on BP 5142.3? Actually, what this is, for people's information, is this is really a policy that was written by the legislature. If you read their law, they pretty much not only wrote what might be a policy, they wrote what might actually be an administrative regulation. They like to get into nitpicking sometimes, and they did a pretty good job with this one. But it covers the subject very well, and probably, luckily in Petersburg, this is something we very rarely ever run across, but we're required now to have this as part of our policies. So, I don't hear anyone here for the public hearing. So, I'll close the public hearing and call this meeting back to order. Then, I'd like a motion to approve this on second and final reading.
I make recommend a motion to approve the BP 5142.3 Restraint and Seclusion at the second reading.
I'll second.
Okay, motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Pretty straightforward. We briefly discussed it up at the conference, and it was just, the legislator told us to do it, so we got to do it.
Well, when you read the state law, actually,
but
it's they laid it out pretty clearly. Okay, hearing no more discussion. All in favor of?
This one needs to have a roll call.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
roll call. Okay, the motion before us is to approve BP 5142.3 Restraint and Seclusion at second reading. Would clerk
the clerk please call the roll? Sharon,
Jane
please
Ellis?
Call the roll. Yes.
Cheryl
Fire?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Megan Lipstrom?
Yes.
Jane
Lipstrom?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Okay, board committee appointments. Have you all given some thought to which committees you would love to be on?
Didn't there used to be more committees?
What?
It just seems like it's small. Did there used to be more?
Did there used to be more?
Yeah, I thought there was more.
There have at times in the past been more, probably. This is all we have for the last few years.
Okay.
There was a recommendation at the conference, and I don't know whether it's maybe redundant or not necessary, and maybe it's something that we could even, I don't know if the agenda's been specifically set for the work session, if it's just training, but one of the other ones, we had most everything that they suggested, but one of them was actually superintendent communication, so that there were two board members that were communicating with the superintendent, so you weren't sitting in the wind wondering what direction you should be going on certain things, and those were the mm-hmm. two people that you could go talk to, and then they would communicate anything to the rest of the board, so then you weren't always hearing from five different people all the time, and that was one of the recommendations, so that it just gives a continuity and kind of tightens up on communication, so that it isn't like, okay, who do I call on this, this situation, besides the board president, do I need to talk to anybody else, so that it's always, and they usually set a board president and one other board member that just wants to be on it, so it's an idea. We can, think about it. If anybody wants, if it's adding more committees that we don't need, I don't know. It maybe isn't necessary, but
well, it sounds like
it was
it
a good idea.
It might be a more important committee than some of I'm not downplaying any of the committees, but it does sound like something that would probably be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, who would like to serve on negotiations?
I went to the seminar on conflict of interest. I do have a sister, for those that don't know, is a school teacher in the elementary school. So they did tell me, because I specifically asked, because I thought, I don't know about this. And they said, because any negotiations going on are for the greater good of the entire teaching staff, it is not a conflict of interest. Although I would rather still not be a part of it if anybody else is willing. But if we don't have anybody else that's willing, I would be on it.
I'd do it.
It just makes
too.
A little too close to home, I think.
If Sarah doesn't feel comfortable, I'll take her spot.
Well, it looks like we have two spots.
Well, what if there's someone else down there? Might want to be.
I know very little about negotiating contracts or whatever.
Me too. I don't know anything.
I can do it. I'll do it.
Okay, so well, hey, I'm really happy about this. We will arm wrestle it when it comes right down to it.
Okay.
Well, I think this year the only negotiations are with the
certified.
The teachers. We don't have classified negotiations this year, but we will have certified, and that will be after Christmas sometime. Usually sometime starting the first part of January, generally speaking.
And I would imagine we'll talk to John Cedor or someone to help us.
Well, just kind of depends.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And budget. So we have a couple people that help work on the budget.
I can do that.
I thought you were kind of skipping that or something.
What?
She went right to negotiations.
I thought you were skipping that because you went right to negotiations instead of budget. So I'm like, well, maybe we're not picking.
From my perspective, I really didn't want to do negotiations. So I thought I'd start out with negotiations, making sure we could get somebody on it before I had everybody on the other committees. That's the truth to tell. Being truthful. Okay, curriculum. We have a curriculum committee, the crisis, technology, and wellness. I believe those are all required committees. Erica, do you know? Dr. Stroh, do you know? Wellness, I believe, is required. I don't know about technology.
Is that a separate committee?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's required, but we have.
Mm-hmm. I was on it years ago as a parent, and I think it was at the onset of getting this district up to speed or starting the one-to-one laptop. And so mm-hmm. that may have been when it was started, yeah. Is to get the community involved that, look, this is where we're going, and this is where we want to go. I don't know if it's something that's, if they're not meeting on regulation or if it's even necessary.
Well, it's usually like once a year or once
okay.
A year. It's not, I mean, really, and same with the wellness committee, it's. Once
to meet
a they're mm-hmm. more of an annual. I think it's nice to have somebody there. It seems like
Well, I know that I think I was on all three of them.
I think you were too.
That the technology was really important last year when we were redoing the
The technology plan?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why we had. So in 3 years we can have another technology.
Yeah, it should be at least once a year. But
I don't know if everyone has in front of them the list of what the committees are.
I've been on curriculum for the last several years, so I'm happy to pass if anybody is interested in doing that. It is pretty of an interesting process. I just sat back and listened because I don't know anything about teaching children, and leave it to the experts in the room. But it was still pretty interesting just to hear, see the process, how hard they worked at figuring out what was needed. So
I'll do the wellness one. That'd be
okay. I don't mind doing technology. Unless you want to. No?
No, I'm on all three. I was on all three.
Oh, okay. So which one would you like? Or do you want?
I'll do curriculum, I guess.
Okay.
And there's left is crisis.
If anybody doesn't want to do crisis, oh, go ahead.
Oh, maybe.
Nope, go ahead.
Oh, boy.
Go right ahead.
Would fit for you because you work on crisis.
I'm in a constant state of crisis. It's great. Put me down for crisis.
It's not that.
It wasn't the fact.
It was also last year we were doing the, sorry.
Like the lockdown.
The lockdown, the new procedures.
Yeah. No, it
wasn't.
That's great.
No, I was just thinking of her job.
Yes, it's a benefit.
Okay, facilities.
I'll be on that one again.
Okay. Legislative liaison. I was.
Do we only want one person?
In that.
I was hoping Sarah and I could do it.
Oh.
Can there be two? So I'm not going by myself.
Yes, there can be two.
Okay.
Because I feel more confident.
Sure.
Someone else, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
Well, because I was thinking of you having more time to go to general and be. Well, because as we just said with the restraint and seclusion, or whatever policy we just passed, it happened at the legislative level. So we really sometimes need people to be paying attention to what's happening up there, so those things don't sneak up on us.
Yeah,
so that it's,
and we didn't go last year, so.
Yeah, we really haven't been then, because I've been doing it, but I haven't really.
You're still good about paying attention, though.
Yeah.
We don't want to
lose
that.
You're on top of stuff.
I was up there long enough, but I heard a few things. I won't mention, no. Okay, the other big one is policy committee. What the primary thing with the policy committee right now is that we have this contract with AASB. They've been working on policies primarily coming out of legislative action, and we need to go through them and get our policy manual updated. And I was working away on it and I fell down on the job, so
we fell down on the job.
If somebody else would like to take it on.
I'll do policy, but I wonder, does it...
It means two people.
I'm a new person, so I don't really know, but does it make sense to have the same, like the legislative liaison and the policy be the same if you're... No? Okay.
Not the same.
Pay attention to legislate. Okay.
I
was just curious, but I'm happy to do policy.
Well, and we can all pay attention at the legislative level and do things down at the LIO and pay attention to what's coming through. The more of us pay attention to that, the better, really. But
you can be an alternate for the legislative liaison.
Because we're getting alternates on our five-member board.
I think I get to also be alternate on...
Okay, is anybody else interested in working on policy?
I don't mind working on policy unless someone is dying to.
That's four. Then you're doing four things.
Oh. Well, technology meets once a year, maybe.
Let me see.
That's what I was thinking. Because I thought.
But she already is down for four. One, two, three, four. Oh, no,
I'm down
not.
For three.
Maybe negotiations we had.
No, Jean, I missed you. Which ones were you on?
Jean's not on nothing.
Jean?
Oh, policy! She's on policy! She's being sneaky.
She's delegating.
She's wearing delegation. But I want to be board president.
Huh, I thought they were going to notice.
So Sharon, thank you.
I can't share.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't writing it down either. Okay. Here's well, I don't have the paper.
I mean, Cheryl, are you interested in
I was using my computer.
I know that we had trouble with
sure.
Done, but
sure.
I was thinking
well, who's
Sarah.
Doing budget? Oh, Sarah and Megan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry, we only meet twice a week for policy.
That's great. I will meet you at 8 a.m.
Actually, she probably could.
Okay, I'll do policy.
That looks really great. I love this up.
Can I get a recap, Jean? So budget is Sarah
budget,
and Megan.
I have Sarah and Megan. Mm-hmm. Negotiations. I actually
Sarah,
have
Cheryl,
there.
Jay.
Yeah, that's what I have. Sarah, Cheryl, and Jay.
There
will only
though?
Be two of them
sure.
That will work at the same time.
Okay. I'll be if someone can't show up.
Okay. So it's Cheryl and Jay with Sarah as alternate.
Okay.
And or if Jay, if it's during the week and he can't go, then
mm-hmm.
it's Sarah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we had that last time, too.
Yeah, I went.
Well, and sometimes we do, especially with the teachers' negotiations, we do tend to do it like at 3:30 or 4.
Yeah.
And so that would not work for you really a lot.
Not too well, yeah.
Let's
Friday.
Friday, yeah.
You want to meet out at the dental office.
That's right.
Okay.
One-way conversation.
All right, curriculum, I have Cheryl. Crisis, Megan. Technology, Sarah. Wellness, Jay. Facilities, Jay. Only have one person down for facilities, but actually I think that's probably fine. It's not a
yeah, and I failed miserably at that one. Poor Dan tried to email him. He did email me, and I could not. That was in my pre-understanding Google stage. I'm embarrassed to admit publicly that I didn't understand it. But I finally found them like weeks later, so I'm not a very good candidate for that. I think one's probably...
One or two meetings in the spring.
Yeah. He tried.
Okay, legislative liaison, Cheryl and Sarah. Policy, Megan and Cheryl. There we go.
And no Jean.
And school president's Jean. Moving right along. Thank you, one and all. I appreciate that. And you do know that you can always call on me if we do need something else.
Oh, don't worry.
Okay. New business, capital improvement projects, the CIP report, which this is the Department of Education, the early capital improvement projects list that has Petersburg as on it. See, now I got number 10-8. We are project number 1 and project number 9. Mm-hmm. And these are the projects that are funded by legislative approval. But they also are, a share is required from the community. And I've always been of, it was 70-30 for Petersburg for years. And 70-30 is what the bond issue amount is. So I always thought that was, they were the same. Well, they're not. It's actually a formula based on the number of students you have and the value of property within your area. And as over the years, Petersburg's student population has dropped and our value assessed valuation has increased, and now especially with the borough addition, we have changed, so now it's 65-35. So we have to pay 35% instead of the 70%.
Exactly.
And they said it was just a fluke that it was 70-30, the same as the bond issue, but that it had been that for years, so I always just thought 70-30. Anyway, so it's 65-35, so our share would be a little more than it might have been. The other unfortunate thing I noticed looking at this list is that there's almost no projects for Anchorage or Matsu, which means its chances of being passed and going very far down are probably not as positive as I'd like it to be, because there's not very many legislators impacted by this. But anyway, give it a call. See what happens. Legislative liaisons.
Do we have money set aside already for these? Our portion of these?
Actually, we're a city owned, so a lot of it really is sort of a city responsibility. And there's been an ongoing conversation. I think Dr. Stroll could maybe talk about this. How much comes out of like the
Secure Rural Schools.
Secure Rural Schools. I still call it Timber Receipts, so I can't get that out of my head. Secure Rural Schools money, how much comes out of anything we have set aside for capital improvements, how much is really the city's responsibility.
Right.
And I'm not sure if we've come to an agreement on that yet.
Right. Where we are right now, the school district has done a very, very good job of trying to set some monies aside because we didn't know, you know, where we would be at financially and with the borough contribution. So we've got some money set aside, but now with that $575,000, that's a local contribution. So it hasn't been decided yet. I mean, first we need to get it funded, you know, through EED or through the legislature. But then we need to decide, do we use the money that we've set aside, that certainly isn't the $575,000, but we do have some, or do we use some of the money that's in the Secure Rural Schools Fund, which is at the borough, which is really federal money from timber receipts, or do we ask for the contribution from the local contribution, the true local contribution from the borough assembly? And it might be a combination of all three. So that's where we're at right now. There's been a lot of discussion on that. And there's no real answer right now. You know, we do have that Secure Rural Schools Fund, but we have to be very, very careful in depleting that because we know doomsday is going to come sometime and we're not going to get that funding in there any longer. So that's kind of a rainy day fund. So you hate to really use all of that $575,000 out of that Secure Rural Schools Fund because then when we need it for things that directly impact kids, we might not have that money. Do you have any other questions on that? Or Jean, do you have any more comments?
One comment I might make is, like somebody had said something about, well, if we already know where that money's going to come from, that will encourage the legislature to fund it. Actually, that's really not true. I mean, it sounds right. Reasonable, but that assumes that the legislature cares for how we fund it. They just say, you have to fund it, that's your problem. And they care about their funding area. And they're going to go down so far in this list, depending on how much money they want to spend. But whether we have our share or not doesn't impact how far down the list they go. Because they do not pick and choose out of the list. They just go so far down the list. Because it's been political suicide for people over the years who have tried picking and choosing. And that has not gone over well with the other legislators. And so basically they just go down the list. And so whether we have the money, you know, where we know exactly where it's coming from or not, won't impact our ability to receive the money.
Right.
We still aren't the same.
But we have to come up with that money to get...
Well, we would, yeah. But once they say we're going to do it, then we have to figure out where to get it from.
Right.
Or we don't have a project.
Politics is always funny. Is spend the money and then figure out where you're going to get it.
Well, you don't have to spend it.
Right. That's exactly. But it's exciting that we're number 9 on the list. You know, we do wish that Anchorage or something or Mat-Su was like about number 11, and so because when they start at the top. And a lot of these from 1 to 9, several of those have already been completed by the various school districts, and so whether that makes a difference or not, but there are a couple pretty large ones. So, but they just start at the top and go on down. But we'll talk with our legislators and try to get as much funding as we can.
Okay, and the next thing is grant award acceptance. We have Carly Wells wrote and received the National School Lunch Program's Equipment Assistance Grant Award for a combination oven and steamer. So, have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the NSLP Equipment Assistance
assistance grant for a combi oven steamer for $20,000.
I second it.
A motion has been made and seconded. Is there any more discussion? Dr. Stroh, do you have any comments about this?
We talked about it last month. We're just excited to get it. It shows the quality of our personnel for writing grants and having the ability to get those. This combi oven steamer will just, it'll be such a great addition just to be able to cook the food and keep the nutrition in the food before it's served. I know that Carly is really, really excited about it. We were ready to order it after the last meeting, but it's like, no, we need to get it approved first. So I don't really have anything else to add. It's just very, very exciting.
Okay. The motion before us is to approve the NSLP Equipment Assistance Grant for a combi oven steamer for $20,000. Is this... We're receiving money, not expending it. Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Contracts approval. Okay, we have several individual contracts. So do we approve them individually?
Except we can't do it together.
I mean, it's your choice. You don't have to. You can walk away.
Okay, because I see that the motion down here. Why don't we go ahead with the motion? Because technically, we're supposed to do motions first before we discuss. I kind of tend to get it the other way around. But
I'll make a motion to approve the above-listed fiscal year 15 contracts for a total of $95,698.75.
A second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Looks like we have Southeast Regional Resource Center psychology and speech contract. And the Southeast Regional Resource Center Network Services Management, the Technology Operations Grant. And Four Ravens Occupational Therapy, is that a local?
No.
What is that?
What?
What is that?
Yeah, in Haynes. Yeah.
Can I?
Yes.
I'm just going to assume, because we don't have an occupational therapist on staff, so that's who they're contracting with for students who need and are qualified for occupational therapy. Is that right?
That
so
is right.
That's who they're going to use?
I can talk about
like
these a little bit, too.
Or something?
Well, I don't know how often they come, but we contract these services out because we don't have them locally.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, the psychology and speech contract, and the Four Ravens occupational therapy come out of the Title 6B grant. That's how they're funded. And the last one, the Petersburg Mental Health for Student Services, comes out of the suicide prevention grant. And then our technology help desk and software updates is through CERC is funded out of the general fund. These are contracts that we've had each year. The only change this year is that we've gone with Four Ravens Occupational Therapy as opposed to contracting with CERC.
Okay.
So in the past, we've contracted that out with CERC as well.
Now, Four Ravens is local or no?
They're from Haynes.
Haynes, okay.
Yep. Does that help at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, I think I just noticed that Four Ravens was one I hadn't heard of before, so.
I didn't remember
any
them.
Any more questions? Okay. Motion before us is to approve the above listed FY15 contracts for a total of $95,698.75. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Megan Lister?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jean Ellis?
Yes.
Cheryl Fire?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Okay, resignation attachment. Do we have a nurse resignation? We're sorry to hear that. Ty Ann Jacobson has been our nurse for a short while, but she's working full-time at the hospital, so I think it's just got to be too much for her to be doing. And she has a couple small children and a husband. And yeah. So the resignation has been accepted by Dr. Stroh, so I don't believe it requires anything of us.
Right. It has been accepted. I did talk with her yesterday, and she said to me, you know, my letter said November 20th, but that would give me one day on the next pay period. She said, how about if, like, it's today, the 18th would be just my last day. And I said, that would be fine. So, actually, that should be amended to November 18th. She did email me that, and I accepted that. So, it really is effective today. But she's done an awesome job, and we will really miss her.
Okay, well, thank you.
So we're going to attempt to fill it, so
yes.
The job and post it? Or?
We are in the middle of doing that. It'll probably go out next week, right?
It'll go out whenever you say it.
Okay. So it'll start getting, it'll be in the newspaper next week. Yeah.
Okay, personnel changes. We have a couple hires here. These are instructional assistants. Are these aides in the elementary? Or are they? Somebody tell me a little bit about this.
Do you want me to? Ruth Johnson is a special education aide in the elementary, and Carissa Smith is a special education aide in the middle school. Carissa took Tiffany Christensen's position there when Tiffany went over to be our elementary custodian. So, I mean, they're both just awesome. Do you want to say anything else?
They're both great. Ruth's done some long-term subbing for us in the past, and then we had a new student who qualified as an intensive student this fall, moved here, and that's where that position came from. And so she's just been there, so we're grateful to have her back. And yeah.
Okay.
Great, and Chris is a Maridua Coast Guard gentleman, and so she's newer to Alaska and town and all that, but she's real bright. She's done a lot of managing the stuff down south and stuff, great with the kids. So she's doing
Is she helping also with some homework after school, too?
I think she's doing a little bit of that, and she's helping with custodial stuff, too. So she's really
our events custodian on the weekend.
Oh, I never knew.
I have a motion. We need a couple motions here.
I recommend a motion to approve the appointment of Ruth Johnson, instructional assistant.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. We've already discussed it. So, motion before us is to approve the appointment of Ruth Johnson, instructional assistant. Is that, are we spending money? Sharon, would you please call the roll?
We are going to pay him, right?
Yes. We can try.
Jean Ellis.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Cheryl Holmgren.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Okay, another motion.
I recommend a motion to approve the employment of Carissa Smith, instructional assistant.
I'll second.
The motion before us is to approve the employment of Carissa Smith, instructional assistant. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Cheryl Files.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes.
Jean Ellis.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Now we are down to the AASB conference reports. Because Dr. Stroll was going to go, but this was like her last opportunity to watch her sons wrestle in college. So she went off and did that, I believe.
Picked it up.
And
that was awesome.
Cheryl might have had, and I was not able to go due to not getting around so well. So I missed that. But Jay and Megan and Sarah went, and I think some would love to have a report from you.
I mean, I can go first. I was able to get up there for, it started with a few things on Thursday, which was boardroom boot camp, as well as continuing board member training for those that have been on it for a while. And some of the things that were covered were board meetings, and it looked like we were doing a lot of some of the stuff that they were recommending, but one of the things that they even suggested was projecting the agenda up on the screen in case anybody in the audience, although we tend to have handouts so people can follow along, but that was an idea. Save a little bit of paper and just project it. They also recommended doing a public comment brochure that is brought to the meetings so that if we do have public comment that gets to be long or question
everybody knows up front what the parameters are ahead of time, which I thought was a really good idea. And then some of the other thing was school marketing, you know, how to getting the community to know what's going on at the schools, which I could tick off several that we were doing already, but some of the other ones was, you know, one of them was broadcasting the meetings. I happily say we're already doing that. And one of the recommendations was actually having a Facebook page specifically for the school district. Making sure your website's up to date, which I think we do, but some of the other things they said is tooting your horn about the volunteer hours that the community does at the school, our student-teacher ratio, professional development that our teachers attend, even the advanced degrees and some of their years of experience of teaching is just recognizing our teachers for all the additional training they do. And a lot of it, too, was continuing to acknowledge kids in their academic success at sporting events, large events where you're going to have a large group of community attending, that not only do we do it before the board meetings, but also, they said, trail of everybody that's on honor roll at the halftime of the basketball game that happens to be in the audience or got SAT scores that were really high. So those were some of the things that were covered. I also went to the law section, which was interesting, and covered a lot of things that we were already handling. But I won't ramble on too long because I'll let you guys talk about some of the stuff that you got to see.
I went to a bunch of classes. I was new to everything, so a lot of it was... I didn't quite understand what was going on. but I enjoyed... I did talk about the AESB with the sports programs and the different levels and tiers of being reprimanded for, you know, tobacco. And they did mention that vapor smoke... Mm-hmm. Was a new big one too. That's a big part of it, and I was also interested to learn that I guess
vapor
we're
smoke. What's that?
If you get caught smoking instead of using cigarettes, there's e-cigarettes.
Oh,
an e-cigarette was the same thing as using regular cigarettes, and mm-hmm. I wasn't sure that. And I also kind of found out that we are actually stricter than the state policy, which I thought was kind of interesting. So I was kind of wondering why we picked, you know, why we didn't go with everybody else. It's because it's a big standardized thing. But maybe you guys...
It's actually been a very hotly discussed...
Okay.
Many years.
Am I stepping in?
Many years. No. You just opened a can of worms.
I'm sorry.
It's actually been a very hotly discussed item. And we actually now have our policy closer to theirs than we did. It's
okay.
Not... Ours is more stringent than what they recommend. But it's not as stringent as it was.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, we have taken a step in what I consider to be the right direction.
Okay. And I enjoyed talking to other districts. They just get together in sizes, so we got to meet with other school districts that are our size. So it was kind of fun to hear some of their same issues, and a lot of them were the same, and just a little different. But yeah, it was good.
Jamie's a good one to talk to about this stuff, too.
Sure.
Well, and he also goes to the ASA, the statewide ASA meetings that discuss some of these things too.
Okay.
So he might have some good insights for you.
Sure. Great, thanks. That's it for me.
I was there for the entire conference, so the pre-conference sessions on Thursday, and then I stayed through the resolutions meeting on Sunday. It was really good. Kind of like Jay said, it was a little confusing, a little overwhelming, but overall it was a really good experience. I went through the boardroom boot camp for new board members, it was nice. I had kind of been looking forward to that, as feeling like, okay, I'm really here and I kind of know what I'm doing, you know. And I went to a session on student suicide, you know, more of an issue in other parts of Alaska, but still some really good information. Went to a really awesome, I mean, just like blow you out of the water session on technology and looking at how to look at technology different in the classroom, you know. Some of us were a little old school, like technology is like a online course, right? But, you know, so that was cool. And there's kids doing, and Kodiak, if no one's heard about what the kids in Kodiak are doing with NASA, it's like, oh my gosh, it's really incredible stuff. But, you know, they asked at the end of the conference, you know, what do you walk away with, your main, what are you taking home? And at that moment they asked me, I thought, nothing. I don't know. I need a refrigerator. I don't know. But and then I thought about it some more. Sorry, who's listening? But you know, two main things. I came home thinking about how do we engage students more in, and how do we make sure that we're listening to students when we're making decisions up here. And so that's been on my mind a lot, and thinking about, and I'll talk about that more at our, during our work session, but I think that's it's really important. It's easy to forget our priority when we're doing stuff. And the other big one that we talked about a lot was just having a healthy board and healthy board superintendent relationships. And so two really big things talked about this year. I think everyone could agree those were kind of key points. And so just kind of thinking about that, thinking about what that means to us, what that means to me as a new board member. And I won't ramble on too long. I want to make a quick comment that I did sit through the resolutions process, which is fascinating. I think it's really interesting. I think the policy is really interesting. I what had intended to just kind of give a rundown, and maybe I could do that at the next board meeting, of what some of the resolutions were, particularly the more controversial ones, and just inform people, since I was the only person there, I voted and represented Petersburg, hopefully in the best possible way, and I'll share with everybody, but I didn't get a chance to kind of gather my thoughts so that I could share it in an articulate way, but that was really interesting. I sat with Wrangell, good people, and so we had, it was good. But I'll share with everybody.
Well, the resolutions process is, it's the system where the AASB decides what they're going to lobby on and what side of each item they're going to come down on and mm-hmm. how they're going to present it, like, to the legislature.
And the primary ones that really stick out, of course, are things like teacher tenure and equal funding. So, you know, depending on the school district, obviously, people, those affect us differently. And so it was interesting to hear the debate about that with other school districts. And it helped me have a better understanding of what our goals here are and, you know, just a little bit more depth to the school board. So I was glad to be there. I was glad to hear the discussion and the debate. It was all super helpful to me. But I will share my voting because I went ahead and participated in that process.
Good. We sent you up there to do that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it was good. Yeah. We only have one little vote here in Petersburg, but it's
yeah, we had two, but then when our student population dropped below 500, we went to one.
Thank you.
Because you used to get to vote with one in each hand if you were the only one there.
One was plenty for me. Oh boy.
Not speaking from experience or anything like that. Okay, I think we have wrapped this up. Additional comments from board members? Future agenda items.
I have a couple. I was thinking. One, I think maybe Megan was touching on in hearing from kids. One of the recommendations out of the school board conference was having your student rep stay for the meetings, but also have them vote. It would be a non-binding vote. It wouldn't count, but then it would maybe more interaction on how the students actually feel about some of the things that we're deciding. And so that might be something to talk to Van about.
That was discussed last year, too.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it several times.
Did you? Oh.
Yeah. It's come up over the last few years at every AASB meeting. And we have discussed it with our representative, but most of them feel that they have a pretty heavy load of homework and they haven't wanted to stick around. But
Certainly, if the board were ever to instruct the superintendent, it's for me or one of us, even Jamie, to talk. You know, if we had something on the agenda we really wanted, you know, Van's input on or to talk about from a student, we could certainly, if we let him know ahead of time, I think he's willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think he would too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think
yeah.
So.
And maybe move that a little bit closer.
And
up
that's
to
a
the job.
Good idea to.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the other things the school board is. The agenda is not the Ten Commandments. You can move things wherever you want it to go. So we could always move something if,
yeah.
if it was a topic of concern. The other thing I wanted to see about maybe discussing or researching is, especially after being up there and being able to see the state swimmers, is I don't know, you know, we're getting into budget season, but at least I had a parent talk to me about how to purchase the tickets for state travel. That it think it can it be blocked out? Can they buy a block in the future at a reduced rate versus buying it the very next week when they're heading to state? So I just wanted to open that up to some conversation to see if what are the options for
we're working through
parents.
That now.
Oh, okay.
We're
okay. Well, then maybe
that discussion.
I'm just curious.
It has progressed a lot from the past.
Okay. That was just a question. I thought, oh, let's look at this again. We've gone swung one way to the other, where we used to be able to pay for it till we can't pay anything, to seeing if it's something
yep.
that can be managed back in.
We'll
okay.
On that.
I have a couple more comments. Sorry,
okay.
I won't drag on. That was actually something they talked about in resolutions, and it was interesting to hear
oh,
boards
yeah.
like, "Well, we didn't budget any money for going to state." And anyway, I don't know. I don't understand it, so I'm learning. But I wasn't really going to comment on that.
Oh,
I was going to say, just back to your mm-hmm. comment and what I had said about hearing more from the kids and making sure they have a voice. And I had mentioned that to Dr. Stroh we met last week, and so it was great to hear the kids today. I appreciate you getting to work on that, and it's good to have the presentation.
We'll do more of that.
Yeah, I hope that we can, because it's just really fun, and it, you know, it brings some fun. So,
well, I think it brings home what we're here for.
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So.
There was one little girl that is sick today, and she couldn't do her essay, and she's just devastated.
Oh.
So, you know, it meant a lot to them, too.
Yeah, they were great.
That was all.
And Cheryl.
So about the, Sarah brought up the superintendent committee having two people. Do you want to discuss that on our Thursday get-together, or is that something we want to talk about?
Sure. Why don't we can discuss it
or a future agenda? I don't know what we want to do.
Actually, it probably should just be a future agenda item. I don't think it really. We don't make decisions at the meeting
right.
on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I think it's actually a really good idea. So
okay.
Why don't we go ahead
future
and
agenda
put it
item?
On your future agenda item. Some Sharon, you.
Okay, and then I'm going to say something. I don't want anybody freaking out that's going to listen, because it is a hot topic. A long time ago. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I would just like some information. Okay? Drug testing. Okay? I know that some schools do it. Some schools don't. Some schools' students preferred it to happen. I know there is issues. I would just like to know what other schools possibly do. Can we possibly talk about it? I mean, I'm just bringing it up because
I'm really curious how it's going in general, because that's the community that I understand put it in place at the request of the students.
Right.
And that's been a few years ago. I don't know if it's still going on. I don't know what's happening with it. I don't know how it's going. I'm very curious about that one.
Right.
Because I feel like that is somewhere large enough that might have a good idea how this is really working.
I mean, I know we have the tests.
If Jamie nodded his head, he might know a little bit about this.
Maybe the ADs know, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of, you know, it's out there. We've had assemblies, community meetings about it. I'm just bringing it up. I don't want anybody to get too excited.
Do you want me to work with Jamie and come back at next month's meeting and talk about what other school districts are doing?
He's already got it in his head.
You already know. Well, that's why I was going to work with you, and then you can tell me all the answers.
I just want to clarify, you mean the random drug testing for student athletes in other Southeast schools?
Yes.
Just the athletes?
Yeah.
All activities.
All activities.
Thank you.
Could be band, anything that's...
Okay. Whatever they do in terms of each community, some might test more than others, I don't know.
I saw them in Jamie's office, and I'm like, oh, you have those? Huh. And I've threatened my kids. I can test you. Mom!
Jamie, you do have them where parents can just pick them up from you, right?
I have 5 sample boxes in there.
Mm-hmm. They can just pick them up?
Yeah.
But so anyway, I'm not saying that. I'm just...
I think it's a discussion that probably happens every 4 or 5 years because of things that happen in other communities, but it's probably been... I have a memory of it from when I was first on the board. The discussion came up on it. Because I think Juno was instituting it, and so
I just don't want parents to get excited.
Yeah.
That we're going to do it right now.
I'm just really curious about how it's working at Juno, I guess, because it's been there enough years now that they do have some track record of how it's going.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to hear.
Yep. All right, are we ready?
Should I put that on a
little bit of
future agenda item for Jamie?
Yeah, I believe. Okay. I asked. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sharon, could we put it down as a future agenda item, please? Mm-hmm.
And also, Cheryl, do you want to do a wellness visit?
Yes, please.
Okay, Jamie?
Is that our alarm?
Could we possibly put that on the agenda for the January meeting? Because I will be returning from AD meetings from Juno.
I vote no.
What would you like to do in December?
January's fine.
I have a ton of info, but I could even get more data. If you wanted that for back.
January would be fine. Yeah. January probably makes sense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Especially if anybody's bolted already for Christmas break. Yeah. Any parent that's curious. They can always go online, though, and listen to it on KFSK.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Any more comments or agenda item additions? I'm ready for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.